Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hi, and welcome. This is Marnie. We are going to be talking today about You Are Your Brand, and I'm excited to have you with us, and our special guest today is Peter G. Gorl. I'll be introducing him in just a moment, but one of the things we know for sure is that how people perceive you is at least as important as how you think they might perceive you or how you want to be perceived. And so we're going to be talking about your brand today and how that affects how people perceive you. In fact, it is what people perceive. So during this hour, you're going to want to grab some kind of a notebook. We're going to be talking about how to comprehend your uniqueness and who you really are, how to identify zones in which you'll be most likely to succeed, how to bring definition to your life and business goals, step into a success mindset, permitting yourself to soar, talking about freeing your natural communication style, learning the business strategy of collaboration and how to do it, living with your shortfalls and removing unnecessary stress, as well as systematizing a lifestyle of getting to get. Our guest today is Peter G. Gorl. He is a social media business strategist who helps clients put together puzzle pieces to create brands that actually work. And you can tap into his experience, creative skills, depth, and stability for the development of your unique brand and audience acquisition plan over at his LinkedIn page at Peter G. Gorl. And welcome to you, Peter.
Welcome. Thank you for having me, Marnie. Pleasure to be here.
I'm excited to talk to you. You and I have been talking branding for a few weeks now, and just really a great topic. It's been a while since we talked about it on air, and this is one of those foundational topics that if you get this wrong, it's really hard for anything to actually get rolling for you. I call it a spinning top. And so you've got this top, and as long as you've got a rough foundation, it's going to just keep flopping over. But as soon as it's on a smooth foundation, then you spin it and it can just go. That's how I think about branding. So I'm excited to spend this hour talking with you about it and picking your brain, because you are a specialist in helping people to identify their brand. And where you like to start with people is to identify what's unique about them or about what they're offering.
I do. And in fact, it's one of my first questions, because we're all born with some God-given talents and something really special. And it may be a component of our DNA in conjunction with how we grew up, the kind of things we experienced, all led to developing this special person that when you open your mouth and when you sort of, even the way you walk, you know, that people know you, they go, I recognize that person, right?
Yeah. Way across a park or something. You can see something. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you see it immediately before you even open your mouth, right? It's just your gait and the way that you hold yourself. I mean, if you're slumped over and you're down like that, no one's, you know, people are going to say, oh, there's a sad person. I got two options. I'm going to go over there and perk them up, or I'm going to have nothing to do with them, right? So it depends on, you know, your audience and where they're coming from. But in most cases, people are attracted by what you're giving off. And and that uniqueness, believe it or not, it's not like you can be in charge of it. You know, you just have to learn to manage it, because your uniqueness may be a quality that is rolled the wrong way too. In all honesty.
I feel like to actually acknowledge who you are and where you are in the world, I think those are two of the most important things to finding peace with yourself. And even if you're just that crazy oddball person who everybody's like, you're the most odd person I have ever met. Some of the most famous people in the world are some of the most odd people in the world. I mean,
Correct.
You just think of, Steve Jobs was actually kind of an odd person. And look what he accomplished. You know, I mean, we are living in a new era because of what he did. And so when you look in the mirror and you see a person and you say, well, I'm not like anybody I know. That's exactly how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sometimes your quirkiness is a value that actually leads you to your best opportunities. And in fact, your best opportunities in life, never mind business, right?
Absolutely. And to actually come to a point where you accept who you are, the way you are, how you are, where you are, all of those things just allow you to relax into the reality of that. And it's the difference between going on a roller coaster ride and knowing that you're strapped in and you're safe, or getting on that roller coaster ride and being afraid the whole time you're going to get thrown out.
Right.
The experience of the ride is radically different.
Actually, and you know what? That is a great analogy for life in itself.
It is.
Because there are times where you probably have felt both. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's as John Maxwell says, you know, like your life is like 10% of what happens to you, but 90% of how you manage what's happening to you is the real crux of it. That's where you become, you know, the real person. And I think that, you know, you need to take that introspective look. I don't care whether you're starting out in a business or whether you're just even as a developing individual. Take that introspective look at yourself. Realize what you're happiest with in yourself. Understand that it may not be something for anyone or one. It may just be something for a few people. And it's important to kind of pick that out and work with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you help people to identify zones in which they're most likely to succeed. So what would something like that look like?
Well, I actually take through a very simple exercise where I give them what I call my simple seven questions. And they're kind of the cornerstone for some very hard to answer questions, right? Really, when you think of something as simple as tell me about yourself, like most people, they're stuck, right? As soon as you put them in one spot. And I'm not looking for them to give me an elevator pitch, for instance. I'm just saying, give me a list of things that like perk, you know, to the top. I mean, are you fun? Are you talkative? Do you like food? Do you like birds? I mean, like bring it all out. Like do kind of a laundry list, bash it out. Tell me what really bothers you in life as much as what makes you happy. And that actually meets with some very interesting moments, because they actually generally say to me, why are you interested in what bothers me? Because it's important for me to help manage you through this process.
Right.
Why should I be making you awkward? You'll never learn in an awkward mode. You'll always learn in a more positive mode. So if we can understand what makes you feel awkward and not necessarily set it aside, but learn how to, you know, either wheel it in or deal with it in some other way, shape, or form, we'll all be better off. And most certainly your brand will be, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And one of the things that the brand can do is to bring definition to your life and your business goals. And so your simple seven that you have people go through, this is bubbling to the surface. It's going to kind of take these seven separate kind of things and make a congruent picture then from which you can go forward. So instead of being all around everywhere, you have this forward motion that's actually powerful and working together.
That's a great way to put it, because one of the biggest problems that most people have, regardless of where they find themselves, is being distracted by too many things. And we live in a world of constant distraction.
Yeah.
And where it comes to presenting your brand publicly, there is so much noise. I mean, it's trivial in most of it, right? Most of it really means nothing. It's just everyone kind of chomping at the bit. And what I like to do is get people to understand somewhere inside of you is this really unique value that will out outlast and outshine everything that's around you and in front of you and behind you, because it'll be so unique. And if you learn how to talk to people about it in the simplest of forms, they'll spot it. Now, I'm not saying that all of a sudden masses of people are going to go, oh my gosh, that guy is such a cool person. No, it's going to be a handful of individuals who are perfectly primed for you that are going to say, I get where that guy's coming from. I get where she's coming from. I want to be part of her network. I actually want to collaborate with that individual, right? That's what happens to people.
That brings up a good point that I want to just pause here before we keep going, because a lot of people feel like if they don't have this huge network, that they cannot do what they're supposed to do in life. And for a few people, that may be true. However, for most people, that's not true.
It's not true at all. In fact, you are better off. I can show you that you're better off if you understand exactly what it is that you mean to people, and this, it's usually a small group. I've gone through a lot of coaching myself, and you know, I have a real shout out to my friend Ryan Foland, who put me through his 313 method, where he totally hammered out me like what it is that, what problem was it that I solved? And did my solution look like? And who was really in my market? And you know, at the end of the day, it's not anyone and everyone. It's a very unique, small group of people who have that, who, first of all, resonate with that problem and would like to talk to you about it. I mean, there's already a cool couple of combinations there, and really want to. I mean, because there's got to be motivation. Right. And sometimes you can create motivation by being as compelling as you can be, but in a very simple way. I'm not saying promise people, here are the 10 steps to winning a fortune. Here are the 12 steps to getting this. That's nonsense. All that's nonsense. The reality is, here's an idea about something that you can actually rectify or achieve by doing this simple thing. That all means so much more. And having 10,000 followers on LinkedIn or on Twitter is not going to cut it for you. That's not, because that's not your market. It's nice that you can let the world know about who you are. In fact, the benefit of being on social platforms is that you can let the world know. But what you will find is there's one person in the UK who really gets you. There's two people in Australia who really get you. There's three people in your hometown that you can actually get to physically. Well, maybe not so much today, but you know, usually you can get to physically and do something with, right? You have to find that magic. You know, you have to find that in you. But you'll only find it by being simple in your approach to what it is that you do, and not try to make a mountain out of a molehill. It just doesn't work.
I was having a conversation earlier today, and I was talking about Cecil Murphy, who has written over 100 books, many bestsellers, and how when I would talk to him, that he would talk about how when he was early in his writing, and he had a couple bestsellers, that he became like consumed with this need to write to be a bestseller. I gotta get another bestseller. And then he finally came to the point where he realized that whether he was a bestseller or not wasn't really up to him. He had to come to the point where he just did his part of the project to the best of his ability, and then whatever happened, happened. And I think that with branding, it's very much like that. You don't know. Actually, you have no idea whether your brand is going to attract 100 people or 1 million people. You don't know. And nor does it matter. What matters is that you're being authentic to who you are And people can tell that. And that's where the, you know, like and trust come part. The no comes a little differently, but the like and trust come from you being very authentic with who you are. Be comfortable with that, setting your goals around that, and being true to that part of the journey. So let's talk a little bit about that mindset then that allows us to do that part where we get known, because it's terrifying to get known because you feel very vulnerable. And in fact, you are very vulnerable.
You are, because when you got to realize that when you do put yourself out and as honestly as you can, that there are going to be people who just don't get you and will either poo-poo you, or they might actually insult you even, right? I mean, but you have to learn to kind of like get your way past that. I think if you're happy with yourself and what it is that you stand for, and that you can actually show people that you actually do stand for something, the count, you know, truly. I mean, because
really? That was really good, actually.
Yeah.
I actually do stand for something. Actually, I am me, and I really know that, and I own that, and it's okay. I like that you said.
I own this stuff. This is me. I'm actually bothersome to some people. I know that, but I know that coming out of the gate, and I'm okay with that, right? Yeah. Because the quirkiness about me is what so many other people like, and so. It's not like I say I'm going to forget the naysayers. I don't know what it's like to be a naysayer. You know, I think they're just maybe caught up in their own worlds, right? And are a bit narcissistic or something like that. But I'm not. Like, I just have a presence about me. And listen to me confidently speaking about that.
Yeah,
I have a presence about me that says, I'm here. Here's how I grew up. Here's the stuff I put up with when I was a young person. Here's what I've developed into. I know what you're going through. I can help you. And I love that. I came to that realization a long time ago. I didn't just fall off a wagon and then, got hit in the head and something changed in my life. I didn't. I mean, even as a 10-year-old, I helped raise my siblings as a 10-year-old. Now, today, people might call that abuse, right? Because of the way that we live, because things have changed. But definitely in the 50s and 60s, that was not. That was considered, it was a community. You were your family, you know? I helped raise my brothers and sisters. And so in doing that, I learned values associated with helping people. And whether I knew it was happening to me or not at that time, I definitely became reflective of it in my later years as I'm starting to help people through career transitions, recruitment ventures, business development. Everything that you do today is about processing, you know, all that stuff that you've learned and doing the best you can with it. I think my unique value is that I connect people to great opportunities and I show them how to connect themselves even better, you know, to other opportunities. That's in my nature.
I feel like what you do, from what I understand, I haven't known you for all that long, Peter, but from my outside perspective, I feel like what you do is you help individuals to see actually what value they have in themselves, and to put that together in such a way that they can offer that going forward to someone who has the need for what they are, for what they do. And that's the congruence that we're looking for in branding, is I'm not trying to be everything to everybody, and I'm not trying to be something I can't be. What I am is I'm offering exactly what I can give you, the very best that I can be for your need that happens to match what I have to offer. And I feel like in all the hubbub of marketing, I feel like that's what sometimes gets missed, is that we're just trying to be too many things to too many people that we're not even good at or we don't love.
You know what? Some people just go into business because they think they see this need and this niche. It's better to go into business knowing a need. And for me, when I looked at, I actually am not a marketing person, people won't believe me when I say that, but I tell my clients, I'm not a marketing person. I'm actually a strategist, business development strategist. I have run businesses before for large corporations. I've run large teams. I know what it takes to deploy actions and get things done. Now, as a solopreneur that I am right now, and working with all kinds of collaborators to help bring it all together, I haven't forgotten everything that I've learned. I actually just put it in play. And I, instead of me picking up the phone as often as I used to do, I go to market online through all my social media channels, and I help my clients put their best foot forward and highlight what they're so darn good at. Like, forget everything else. Just bring it to a boil, right? I mean, the reality is, and I think we talked about, you know, finding something of real value that you can actually go to market with. It may be the simplest thing ever. It could be that maybe you sew something, you know, maybe you're into knitting or sewing, and you sew something that is so different and so unique. I can show you how to make a business out of that. Right? That's all there is. If you bring enough attention to it, I guarantee you there are going to be oodles of people who go, that's so cute. That's so great. I like that. Does it serve a purpose? Chances are it probably does, because it's satisfying someone else's needs, right?
So I like to think about, so you said you're not really a marketer, and I always think that, you know, people always say I'm such good at marketing, but the problem is that I can't sell worth a hoot if I don't really believe in what I'm promoting. So instead of being a marketer, as much as that goes, you know, I don't feel like I'm so much a sales representative or a marketer as much as an evangelist. Like, it's like, okay, I've got some great news here for you. And if I believe in it, man, I don't have any trouble convincing you it's a rocket science idea, because it's just turning my crank. And so I think that when you get to the point as the individual where you say, I think that this way that God put me together is just rocking.
It is.
I know I have faults. I know I have weaknesses. I know I can't do everything. But in the way that God put me together, in this particular thing, I can do this, and I can really help you. If you need this kind of help, I'm here for you. And I believe that when we get there, the marketing kind of does, it just flows. It doesn't have to be manufactured and feel so clunky and awkward and salesy. We just get to actually be ourselves. And yeah, there are things we need to do, but we don't need to become someone who we aren't.
Well, you know, we're a little bit caught up in what marketing used to be, where, you know, the day of the Mad Men, you know, in New York, where you thought of a theme. It was trickery when you think about it. It was downright trickery. You were playing psychological games with people. And in all honesty, I'm not anywhere near about that. That just doesn't turn my crank. I can't tell you something that I'm not. And that's why I'm a little anti all these gurus who have all shown up over the last 4 months with the 19 ways to solve something in COVID times. And I'm thinking, where did you earn your certificate in COVID marketing, right? I mean, where did you get that from? Because this is brand new to us this year. Like, don't try to spin people. If you spin people, you confuse them. A confused mind never makes a good decision. End of story. I just come clean. I said, look, my client is a real estate chap, and he puts his heart into everything he does. And so I tell him, I want people to feel that. I want them to see your heart is on your sleeve, no matter what time of day it is, no matter what trouble you're having. I want them to see your heart is in the right place. And that's how we promote him. But we promote him only the way that he is. I'm not making it up.
This is just the huge difference, right?
Yeah.
You're not fabricating a story so that you can achieve some kind of end. You're actually just congruent with who you are, and you're actually just working to make that, put that together into a way that others can actually receive it and understand it. So talk to us about communication styles. People have very different communication styles.
They do. I'm a little verbose. I'm still, even today, working on my listening skills. You know, I mean, it may not be that obvious right this minute, but the reality is that is the biggest problem most of us have.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know enough to pause. We don't know enough to give the other person enough leeway to get exactly everything out on the table before we make a comment to it. Very, very hard. Probably one of the hardest skills. And I let people know when I find them as good listeners. I let them know. I say, oh my. I says, I want to be like you. Because I run on passion and energy. And because of that, I have to try harder to curtail the communications. But again, my friend Ryan, who took me through the 313 method, settles me down by running me through a process of an agonizing one at times of finding out what is the problem. Tell me about the problem you solve, he'd say to me, without telling me what you do. Because you know how you meet a person at a party or a dinner event or something, and they go, oh, so what do you do for a living? That always comes up, right? And then you get, you got this like, and this person goes, oh my gosh.
Sorry I asked.
Yeah. I see a friend of mine over there. they want to bolt from you as soon as possible. The reality is you should be able to tell somebody in a compelling way what it is you're dealing with or the kinds of things you're dealing with without telling them about what you do. And wait for their permission. If you bring that message to them more compelling, wait for their permission to say, tell me more about that. The minute they've said, tell me more about that, you've been getting the okay. You can now, and I wouldn't recommend spouting off for too long, but you can at least get out that 2 to 3 minute diatribe that you know that's buried in your chest that you're going to get out since you're hello. it's so difficult.
Yeah. So natural communication styles. Talk to us about that.
Well, I always believe that regardless of all your training, you're going to default to who you are. It's in likeness. It's in likeness to the unique value that you have, you know, that makes up your DNA.
Hmm.
If you're talkative, you're always literally going to be talkative. You're just going to have to find an approach that allows you and permits you to be that way. I think a really good tip is to be a guest speaker someplace where you actually have to go through give a presentation. I mean, or something like this, you know, something like a live webinar, like force yourself into it, get yourself out of your comfort zone. And of course, you're going to mess up, but that's okay because people will like that about you too.
I think of Toastmasters, and that's really where they have made their distinguishing mark in the world, is that they are willing to take someone who's just plain petrified of speaking, and they'll let you kind of learn the process in front of people who are going to be gracious and compassionate to you if you mess up. And that's really important. It's really important. I think that working with speakers like I do at womenspeakers.com, you know, people say the number one fear is speaking. But I think the reason is because you are so vulnerable when you're in front of a group of people. You're saying, I have something that's so important to say that all of you should just be quiet and listen to me. Okay, that's the role you just put on when you sit up there, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
And now what you're afraid is going to happen is that they're going to say either, I already knew that or I didn't care about it, or they're going to ask you questions that you don't know the answer to.
Right.
The beautiful thing about coming into authentic communication style, our own, is that we get to just recognize, I do not know everything. First of all, I'm just going to just know that in my head and communicate humbly, I don't know everything. So if the question comes in the Q&A session and you don't know the answer, you would say, great question. I'm going to follow up on that. If you leave your email out there, I'm going to get back with you and follow up with that. That was a great question. Thank you for asking that, because I'd like to know the answer to that. I just don't.
Yeah.
You have to accept, this is who I am. I'm not everybody else. I'm not a dictionary. I'm not an encyclopedia. I haven't had every experience in the whole universe. And so, of course, you can't bring it all. And just to be comfortable that you are who you are, and you do have something unique to say. And I believe that that's the key with branding, is to surface that, to surface what it is that does make you different from everybody else out there, either on the speaking track or whatever business or career you're in.
Yeah, no, and in fact, I remember even my early days, I often used to bring forward a kind of a disclaimer comment to my people, you know, or that I was speaking with, or to my potential clients, by saying, look, I'm going to tell you right now, I actually may not be the right, and I often start this way, I may not be the right person for you, because I have a low threshold for this. However, I can get really excited about this.
Yeah.
And so what you're doing is you're giving them this little checklist, and they're going, well, okay, so, all right, didn't care so much about that. However, I'm so bananas about this, right? So let them choose you, right? Not by virtue of you selling yourself, but by declaring yourself. It's like, hey, this is what I do. This is what I've done. Here are people who speak on my behalf. However, I'm not for everyone. And in fact, I may even tick you off. I may. I'm not even sure. I might even be doing that right now just by talking to you this way. When you do that, it's so disarming to people, right? Because they're going, and they'll often say, hey, don't beat up on yourself. Thank you. You know, like, I want to do business with you. You're just what I need, right?
Well, we're not used to people being that authentic in a sales situation. We're used to people wanting to answer every single question with the right answer and get the A+ and everything's all really perfect. But the reality is that sometimes you don't have all the skills, you don't have all the things that they're looking for, and that's okay too. It kind of segues into our next thing we were going to talk about here, is collaboration, which is the ability to work with other people to bring a project together. So we were talking earlier about, you've got all these scattered things. So let's say that you find that actually this is all you've got to bring, is just your right hand, and you need a left hand in order to make this project work. So you just find the collaborator that's your left hand, and then you go forward together. And sometimes, many times, you're going to be able to do it by yourself, but there are more times that you're not going to be able to do it yourself. You're going to have to bring somebody in who has some skills or some availability that you don't have to make a project work.
100%. It's actually my favorite sport is collaboration. Anyone who knows me will say, they were probably sitting at the end of their chair saying, I know exactly what Peter's going to say here, right? Because I am huge in this space, because I've found sometimes by collaborating or helping someone else out that I've brought benefits to myself more than benefits in personal learning, benefits in personal acquisition, you've got to think about that, right? Because I have a dear friend in Michigan who's an amazing videographer, an amazing storyteller. He does it like no one, right? And I found him, you know, online. And I actually thought he lived somewhere else. But when I found out that he lived in Michigan, Flint, Michigan, this was last year, I jumped in my car and went to see him. And we just, and we did a live podcast together just about us being together that day. And it was so seamless and so helpful. We had this really cool little tribe together, like, because I introduced him to someone else in Michigan that he didn't know. I think it was last May, the three of us, we put on a branding workshop in Detroit, where Carol did the image, he did the storytelling, and I did the branding story for, you know, a group of people. And that wouldn't have come together. I couldn't have pulled that together on my own. I still don't. I mean, when I need web work, I've got people. I'll go and get that done. I know what I'm good at. I know what I can do. And I really know what I can't do. And I do not try to do the stuff I can't do, because all that is to me is aggravation. I'm actually giving my life a bit of a twist that it doesn't need, right?
Yeah. Collaboration is just so important. And so the difference, I want to just pause for a moment, the difference between charity and collaboration. Charity is when you see someone that has a need and you decide, I'm just going to offer this as a gift to them with no strings attached. I don't have any reciprocity. This is just my way of reaching out and extending love. That's charity. Right. Now, collaboration is when you each bring a skill or a set of skills or some resources or time or whatever it is. Yep. You're each bringing something of close to equal value, maybe not exactly equal, but, you know, pretty close to equal value. Mm-hmm. And you bring it together and you say, because I believe we could do this better together, I'm wondering if you would work with me on this project. Yeah. And so when you step into a collaboration, or when you're looking for someone to collaborate with, this is really an important distinction, so that you don't get burned and say, I've tried that so many times. I'm so generous and I'm just giving stuff away and people never reciprocate. It's a totally different mindset from charity. And you have to clear that up so that when you're going into a collaboration, it's not like you're keeping track of every minute or every penny or something like that. But you do have a mutual expectation that you're going to be sharing with each other. And one of the best times to collaborate is in your strengths, but even a better time to collaborate is in your weaknesses, where you see, I have this project that I want to do, and I've got all these strengths over here, but I really don't know how to do whatever, the media piece or whatever it is. Right. You find a collaborator who says, I've got the media piece, but I don't have the ability to do all of that that you would do. And that's where you're going to find your beautiful collaborations, actually in your weaknesses. And it is a wonderful thing.
It is. And I'm so glad that you totally highlighted the variance between the two, because I'm actually tired of hearing people saying, well, I've worked so hard for that person and they're obviously, they don't care because it's giving me nothing back. And I'm thinking, well, even if that was charitable, you went into it with the wrong mindset, in all honesty, because I go into collaboration almost the same way as I do charity, in that I have no expectancy of payback. And I think that's what keeps me from being disappointed, right? In all honesty, because not everything's come together the way that I would have loved it to on all the things that I've done. I haven't gone to City Hall and made a case about it. That's all there is to it. I'm not going to either.
I love that.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, you know, some people don't have it in them to turn the corner yet. Or maybe it's the wrong time in their lives. Maybe they're at a low in their life where they're just trying to get out of something. You should look to recognize those things, obviously. But I mean, you know, some people play you a little bit on the top end, right? So they look like they're got the full capacity, but they're not, you know, it's like a duck on water, right? They look like they're calm, but the legs are going like mile a minute underneath. Like, if you can look down below the water, through conversation and discovery, then, you know, maybe you won't be as upset when, you know, because reality is not everybody is going to come to you at the same intensity that you do. Even myself, as a very passionate guy in the mix, it's rare to find my equal passion on the other side. And I don't hold that against anyone. I just say, I forgive him before it even starts.
That's
because I
awesome.
Say, look. I say, look.
For the many ways you may fail me, I forgive you now before we... That's great. It's a wonderful... It is the place where we live, is in forgiveness, just because people are going to disappoint us and let us down. And I think my primary reason for bringing that up, the distinguishing between the charity and the collaboration, is a story that a pastor over many, many churches in Africa told me. He and his wife, besides having all of these churches to pastor and lead, they owned a restaurant hotel and they owned a gas station. Okay. And his wife was running the restaurant hotel. And so she would run it just well. And then he would show up to visit with her or something like that. And he would see a group of pastors sitting around a table. And he would walk over to them and he would say, "Oh, it's on the house. It's our gift to you." And after a while, his wife said, "I'm not going to do this anymore. You're killing me. You're killing me." And he's like, "How am I killing you?" And she said, "Because you're running the restaurant hotel as if it was a ministry, and it's not.
Right.
It's a business." And sometimes I think we get these things just all, and yes, of course, we are so happy to give and be generous and to forgive when someone tries their best and can't do, you know, even what they promised to do. All of that is there too. But I think for you listeners, I want you to know that when you're thinking of collaboration, it's not the same as charity. Nor should you ever think that charity should look like collaboration.
Right.
Because charity is just charity. You're just graciously giving with no expectation of anything in return. So I love that. We've got one more play. We're running out of time here. So Peter, how do you systematize a lifestyle of giving to get?
Well, I am a I've always been a pay it forward individual, right? I find that most people don't want to be the first to move, want to be the first on the dance floor. There's that awkward moment, right? And I think that that is when you think about life in itself. In order to bring people out, tell them something about yourself personally, right? And it's part of the questioning period, but you know, that I have in the discovery with my clients when we get down to figuring out their brand. It's like, I have to give them an example. And the best example is the live one in front of them, that I can tell them a story saying, "Well, back 5 years ago, this is the way I used to be. But I discovered this and I made this thing happen to me by virtue of this." So all of a sudden, kind of remove the lumpy, bumpy road, you know, of conversation between us. And the next thing you know, that it opens up. It's systematic in itself because it's a process, right? It's a process of coming clean, ditching the act, if you will, right? Not living on your high horse, like bringing yourself down to their level and saying, "Look, I know the trouble you're having. I see it everywhere. I've had it myself. Let's get on with this thing," right? It's the best way to encourage the involvement.
Earlier when you said you loved collaborations because you could never enter into one where you didn't get more than you gave because you were learning something or whatever, you're exposed to new people you would have never met or whatever.
Right.
And when you think about the phrase give to get, it might sound like that's a bad motive or something, but the reality is that the Bible teaches you can never outgive God. No matter how much you give, he's going to give you more. And
absolutely.
So when your motivation is truly loving others and giving yourself fully to whatever work God has put in your hands, then you can't outgive God. You're going to get. So systematizing this is, I love how you defined that. is just getting very true and honest with yourself and only doing those things that are congruent with how you see yourself as God created you to be, accomplishing the work he put you here on the earth to do, and just to go forward with that.
The other thing, Marnie, that I would add to that is sometimes, you know, and in fact, all the time, you should never expect anything from the person you're actually helping, because that individual may not have actually the wherewithal to respond. But what might happen, and what usually happens, is that someone else will witness that, or someone else will be around that, or that person will hear about that from somewhere else and come to you. It's just the way it works. It's like I say, put something out into the universe and pay attention.
Yeah.
Right.
So the balancing thought I'm having there, I totally agree with you, but we can get kind of lost in the weeds on this one. So my balancing thought is, we used to own a retail store, 12,000 square foot retail store with 12 departments and employees and many customers and 100 vendors, and it was a big deal to run it. And some people would come in and they would get up to the cash register to pay for something, and they would realize they didn't have their wallet with, or they didn't have money, or they didn't have enough money, or whatever. And then they would be in a quandary, you know, should I put something back? Or they didn't know, you know, what to do. And in those moments, you have the opportunity to be charitable, to be kind, to say, just go ahead. And like, for example, we had people sometimes come through with diapers and then realize they didn't have. We'd be like, yes, just take them. Just say, you're fine, just take them. Then there were other people who would go down the aisles and put things in their coat and walk out the store with them, right? This is a very different scenario. When people are bent on taking advantage of you, it's okay for you to say, no, there are rules about that.
Correct.
Doing that. But otherwise, when you have the opportunity to give generously, because you can simply never, never outgive the Lord. So that's awesome. Peter, this has been so fun. I know that you have a LinkedIn profile that we're going to send people over to visit at LinkedIn. Peter G. Gorel, G-O. In fact, I want to take that off so you can see his name here. Peter G. Gorel at LinkedIn. And what is it exactly that you do for people? Like, what is your coaching that you offer?
Well, I actually take a holistic look at their business very quickly through a discovery session. We figure out what it is, what problem it is that they solve, what their solution truly is, and who really is their market. And then what I do is I design an acquisition approach that takes a process 90 days, but it's in a rinse and repeat approach, because enough change, it changes. I mean, between now and tomorrow, things are going to change, you know, in this world. So you've got to be prepared. But realistically, just drill down with you, get you thinking introspectively about yourself. I start with the simple 7 questions. Then we drill down into the business itself. In most cases, I may have had some interest, or I may have had some experience in the business, because I have a pretty checkered background in experiences, including retail, which I didn't realize you were a retailer too. Retail ops taught me so much. That's for sure. Yeah.
Well, you guys want to be sure to check that out over at LinkedIn. And Peter, thank you so much for being here today.
It's been a pleasure. A lot of fun.
Thank you. And thank you guys for being here. Always fun to have you with us. And if you would want to share this interview out with other people, that'd be great. And also, if you want to subscribe or follow, that'd be awesome. And you can check out Peter's links as well over from LinkedIn. All right. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful day now. Bye-bye.